Perry, I'm going to put you to work up there. Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you speak to us today concerning the rhythm and content of the Christian life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What you have in your bulletin doesn't work for this sermon because I changed it. When I heard about the blizzard coming our way, I figured, well, we may or may not have church. And so last day or so, I've been working on changing the content of the message because the one I was going to give is actually a two-parter, and I didn't want to give the first part and then nobody show up. So we're going to save it to our next week, and the weather will change your the way you do things on occasion, and it's also destroyed the entire civilization, so we need to keep that in mind in terms of this. I have been in the ministry 40 years, give or take, and during that time, I think I may have not had church once because of weather down in western Kentucky. They don't plow the roads at all down there, and so you have bad weather, you can expect it. And I've had it where just a handful have shown up. There's this guy and a young minister in Kentucky, and they had a big blizzard that took place, and so he got to church, and there's only one guy that showed up for church, and he decided that, being a young minister, he said, I'm just going to give him the whole thing. And so he got up there and he preached and preached for about 45 minutes. And at the end of the service, he went back and the old farmer said, son, that was a really good message. But one of the things I've learned in farming, when the cows come in for their hay and stuff, if they don't all show up, I don't give them the whole load. So, I don't know. You're not going to get the whole load today. So, we're going to see what we can do here. I want to talk to you about the content and the rhythm of the Christian life in terms of where does it actually work from in terms of that. There's this young guy, and he was actually very strong in his Christian faith and traditions of the church, and he was training to be a paratrooper, and he was being prepared for his first jump, and the instructor explained to him that when he jumped out of the plane, that the parachute would open automatically. He also said to this young man that if by some chance that chute doesn't open, all you have to do is pull the ripcord attached to the emergency chute. Well, this young guy was duly impressed with the trust of the instructors was putting in these parachutes, so he asked with a small voice, he said, what if the emergency chute doesn't open? Well, the instructor replied, well, in that case, just say, Buddha be praised, and everything will be all right. Now, as I said, this guy was strong in his Christian faith and tradition, and he wasn't too happy with anything that the instructor had been saying, but especially the formula, Buddha be praised. Nevertheless, he went up in the plane, he jumped out, and the parachute didn't open automatically, and quickly he pulled the emergency ripcord, and still nothing happened, and in desperation, he cried out, Buddha, be praised. Huge hand comes out of the clouds, scoops him up, and catches him, and as he wipes his perspiration from his brow, he says, thank you, Jesus, at which point the huge hand let go and returned to the cloud as he began to fall. He heard a voice coming from heaven, into his hands I commend your spirit. Christian tradition and faith. Yeah, I want us to read together a scripture that I have got, Mark chapter 7. Isn't it 7? Yeah, verses 1 to 9 and verses 14 and 15, which is for this message. Here we go. Now when the Pharisees gathered together to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, observing the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they purify themselves. And there are many other traditions which they observe, the washing of cups and pots and vessels of bronze. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with hands defiled?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition." Now, verse 14. "And he called the people to him again and said to them, 'Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a man which by going into him can defile him, but things which come out of a man are what defile him.'" In this scripture, Jesus and the Pharisees are having a discussion. And it concerns tradition and church religion and such like that. Some of the disciples of Jesus had been observed eating meals without having purified themselves, that is to say, washed their hands. Now, it's not like we would wash our hands. This was a religious tradition that had to do with purification because you don't touch the stuff of the world. And Mark reminds us that the Pharisees and, in fact, all Jews cling to the custom of their ancestors and never eat without scrupulously washing their hands. And it wasn't about cleanliness as much as it was about purity. In fact, they didn't ever eat anything from the market without sprinkling it. There are many other traditions which they observe, and that's what the scripture says. For the example, the washing of cups and jugs and kettles and stuff like that. I guess they didn't have dishwashers. The Pharisees demanded to know why Jesus' disciples didn't strictly observe these practices, the religious traditions of the people. And Jesus answers with this quote from Isaiah. He says, "This people pays me lip service, but their heart is far from me. Empty is the reverence they do me, because they teach as dogma mere human precepts." Just somebody comes up with a rule or a regulation and they put it in the down. Later in the discussion, Jesus says to them, "What emerges from within a man, that and nothing else is what makes him impure. Wicked designs come from the deep recesses of the heart." And basically he was talking about the difference between religion and the relationship. Now, those of you who have been to the banquet in the way of relationship talk on Friday evening, that was what we talk about, the difference between religion and relationship. Religion has to do with the observance of all the externals, the rituals, the rules and regulations of tradition. And he says that's really meaningless without the relationship. What gives those things that we do in church, you know, the things that we do and things that other churches do, what gives it meaning is not the actual religious tradition so much as it is the heart of the people who practice it. It's what's inside that counts. Relationship, not religion. And Jesus said, "What emerges from within, what comes out of your heart, that's what makes the difference between lip service and real service, between empty reverence and genuine relationship, between insecurity in terms of this life and security in relationship with God." Some of you are old enough to remember, at least hear about a guy by the name of Huey Long. Huey Long was a famous Louisiana politician, and he was corrupt as they go. But in his earlier political campaigns, He used a lot of tactics. He was about to begin a campaign in southern Louisiana. And one of the local leaders said to him, "Hey, Huey, you got to remember that you are from northern Louisiana, where there are mostly Protestants. But today, you're going to be down in rural southern Louisiana, where they are mostly Roman Catholics." So consequently, wherever he stopped that day, Huey Long began his speech with the same story. He said, "When I was a boy, I used to get up at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning and hitch the old horse up to the buggy and take my Catholic grandparents to Mass." And with those opening lines, he had every audience with him for the rest of the talk. Later, with this local leader, "Congratulations, but Huey, you've been holding out on us. I didn't know you had Catholic grandparents." And Huey replied, "Don't be a damn fool. I don't even have a horse." Now, this sermon could go a lot of different ways from there. I could say, let's just say that whether we're Protestant or Roman Catholic, whether we are, have a horse or don't have a horse, or whether we're rich or poor, famous or obscure, super talented or ordinary, it's what's on in the inside that counts. What emerges from within makes all the difference. And that's the essential part of the Christian faith and the rhythm of our life. The heart of our faith is that Jesus came to bring us the good news about God. We know this. God is our creator. He is the one. He's the true source of all of life. Whatever we think about God, He is for us. He loves us so much that He sent His own Son unconditionally to live and to teach us how to live and then to die on the cross to take away our sins. God created us for union with Himself, to be in relationship with Him. His love is always working in us, around us, calling us into that relationship with Him. There's no other way we're going to experience life apart from union with God through Jesus Christ. This is the pearl of great price. Now, this is the basis of the gospel. This is that eternally significant thing. But the problem and the kicker is this. While most of us would say, yeah, we believe the content of our Christian faith, what I just encapsulated in a few minutes here. And to some degree, we understand it. Nevertheless, as for many of us, it comes in from the outside. It's not something that we're experiencing from the inside. It's something that we talk about in church and Sunday school, but it isn't always coming from the inside. We have the content on the outside in terms of what we do in the context of church, and that's the message. But we don't experience it a lot of times on the inside. And that's what Jesus meant when He said, "Whoever drinks the water that I give shall become a fountain that wells up to eternal life." This is where the rhythm of the Christian life enters into the content of the Christian life. It has to do with the way we live our lives in terms of how we take the content and allow it to come alive and actually become us. It's what comes up from the inside of us that makes the difference. Now, we have the outside stuff and we hear about it, but Jesus needed it to come from the inside of us. In fact, there is one scripture in this bulletin that really speaks to that. Read with me Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Here we go. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor, and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, if you look at that scripture, basically God has said, I'm going to start on the inside in terms of their hearts, so that what comes out of a person then is, in fact, what they think. If you look at Jesus, you're going to see that he had the ability to pray constantly, to be in relationship with God constantly. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was busy a lot of the time. In his busy day, but he was tuned into God's presence in his life, even in the busyness of his day. That's what enabled him to preach, to heal, to do the miracles, and to work with such power. But while there was this relationship that was going on in the busyness of life, he also had the need to withdraw at times away, to change the rhythm of his life, you might say, to concentrate on God and to be totally present in that relationship, even though he was connected all the time. I think that one of the things that this snowstorm does, this blizzard does, is it changed our rhythm, didn't it? To a certain extent, it changed the way that we address today and the next day or so. It changed our rhythm. And that's what Jesus did on occasion, is he would change the rhythm of his life. And he would pull away, and he would concentrate on the relationship with God, even though he was connected in the busyness of his life. Now, this is something that I've learned to do over the years. Sometimes I'm better at it than others, but I noticed that this is one of the things that it does. It makes us change our rhythm here a little bit. Now, every year I try to get away, but I don't get it done every year. And I go to Panama City Beach for about a week because, for me anyway, Panama City Beach, well, the membrane between heaven and earth is thinner there. And I take the time to get close to God. Now, I'm not real holy, and I pray all day long on the beach or anything like that. I usually read books and stuff, but basically I connect with God in terms of that. Now, I'm not being that religious or anything like that, but I'm not also in relationship with the busyness of my life when I go down there. It gives me time to commune with God. Now, I don't know how you commune with God. That word has that religious feel to it. But I don't know how you pray to God, but I'll be in the car and I'll be talking to God and I say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? And I'll be listening to God and I just talk. That's communing with God. I mean, I'm not praying like this when I'm driving a car. I don't know if it's illegal now to talk to God in the car or not, based upon the change of laws, but if they see me talking, they'll wonder, won't they? But I do this in terms of that, and I take that chance sometimes to go to, well, I like to go to Panama City Beach. I've been to other places, but to change the rhythm. Now, there was a rhythm, if you read the Gospels, there's a rhythm in the life of Jesus as well in terms of that. Even in the busyness, he was connected to God, but there were times when he would get away, and then he would return to ministry, carrying with him the fullness of the Spirit and filled with his being after his time of withdrawal. Many of us try to be present to God in our busy times. But I know that busyness is one of those things. One of the reasons that the great banquet works is that we actually do. For the guests anyway, most of the team, it is a time where you step away from the normalcy of your life and you actually concentrate on your relationship with God. Now, the Great Banquet for me is not very good for that anymore because it's work for me. But for most people, it is in fact that kind of time where you are changing the rhythm of your life in order to concentrate on your relationship with God. I know that some of us try to be present with God in our busy times, but that's not a very easy thing to do at times. So it's important for us to be open to God's presence in ways in which we draw away from the world, you might say. Most of us don't take the time to withdraw when we know we may need it, to concentrate on God in solitude. Now, it doesn't mean there aren't people around, but it's where you are away from what you are normally there. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time you took time, more than just a few minutes, to concentrate on God? On yourself, your faith, what you believe, what is this all about, what God is saying to you? Have you ever taken a daily, a day to totally concentrate on God recently? That's why the Great Banquet is such a powerful experience for a lot of people. Is because they actually take the time to concentrate totally on their relationship with God and what that means. See, the problem is that being open to God in our busyness becomes superficial because there are so many distractions and things that are pulling and pushing on us, and it is very difficult to hold on to that, and it disappears. If the rhythm of our prayer and devotional time does not include some quiet time away, then we lose that relationship. We take quiet time alone with God to put rhythm of the Christian life back into the content. You see, the content is what I gave you a few minutes ago, very short and sweet, and that content is there. But practicing the content is not always it. There was a guy by the name of Fritz Kreisler who was a great violinist back about 100 years ago or so. He had one big problem. He hated to practice. His wife was deeply concerned about his career and kept after him all the time. Fritz, have you practiced today? How much have you practiced? Be sure you practice, Fritz. And he was constantly coming up with all sorts of reasons and rationalizations not to practice. Toward the end of his life, a bunch of his friends threw a great banquet for him, and it was held in his honor. And one speaker after another got up, and great conductors, musicians, and they began to speak of him in glowing terms. And one even said, he's the world's greatest living musician. And beaming, Fritz Kreisler turned to his wife and said, did you ever hear such praise? And without cracking a smile, Mrs. Kreisler said, no, but think what they could have said if you'd just practiced. Practicing. We don't practice our Christian content that much. And I think that sometimes when a weekend like this hits, it changes our rhythm and gives us a chance to think. You know, because of God's goodness and love, we make occasional contact with Him in the midst of our busyness. But sometimes we have to be very intentional about changing the rhythm of our lives to connect with God in the relationship and not just the content of what we have. There's one other kind of prayer and devotional life which is equally important. Prayer, once again, prayer has got all these religious connotations to it, so you carry all that luggage. But prayer is basically talking and listening to God. It's the same as if you would talk and listen to a friend when you are in relationship with them. But what happens in that in a relationship with another person is that when you're talking and listening with them very intentionally and paying attention, you are connecting with them. And really, our prayer life, or that which is in that connotation, is really about connecting with the other person or with God. Now, in the scriptures on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus went up there with his disciples, and it was James and John, Peter, James, and John, and he ended up meeting with Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was in relationship with those two in terms of what life was all about and what his purpose was in terms of this life. And when he came down from that mountain, he knew what he was supposed to be doing. And so he went back into the busyness of his life, you might say. But he was in relationship, and you do that through talking and listening. There's a letters to God about children wrote, and one said this: "Dear God, is it okay to talk to you even when I don't want anything? Love, Eric." Well, yeah. In fact, that may be a very good time to talk to God and to listen. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees who were religionists, and he said, "Buddy, it's not what you do in terms of religion. It's what comes out of you that is the real part of you. What emerges from you, that and nothing else, is what makes a person pure or impure in the busyness and in the solitude." So if nothing else, as we look at this year, check in with God in terms of the rhythm and the content of your life. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that as we begin this new year, that you would help us to make sure that the relationship is solid and not just the religion, what we do in church and otherwise. In Jesus' name, amen.